You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, September 16th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. You should know that the Locked On NFL Draft podcast relaunches September 20th with our brand new hosts. Eric Crocker brings the player scouting, Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it where podcasts are found. We'll deliver new episodes to your device each day as they're posted. And also leave this show a five-star review if you like it. Really do appreciate it. In a little bit, I'll be joining Mike DeBate, my good friend. Mike, of course, is the host of Locked On Patriots, and we will be doing our Thursday crossover show as we will preview Jets-Patriots Week 2 action, MetLife Stadium, the Jets' home opener. But before we get to that, there is a little housekeeping to take care of. Because of the mailbag show yesterday, we did not discuss some of the Jets roster moves from earlier in the week. No great surprises, but the Jets placed four players on injured reserve. They were Mekhi Becton, Braden Mann, Blake Cashman, and LaMarcus Joyner, all of whom were injured in the opener against Carolina. That's a rough opener when you end up with four players on IR. Now, of course, IR is a little bit different than it was in the past. Years ago, you were out for at least eight games, and there was a limit to the number of players you could bring off injured reserve in a season. Now, injured reserve means you're out 3 weeks, and you can come off whenever you'd like. There's no limit, so it's a little bit easier to use injured reserve to clear up a roster spot. It's one of the smarter things the NFL has done, is changing these rules, in my opinion. Or maybe I should say, not changing them for years and putting those restrictions in place, those strict restrictions that you could only come off after eight games and there was a limit. Maybe it's more that was a really dumb way for the NFL to approach things in a sport that's so physical where there are so many injuries. But in any event, the rules are different now. So injured reserve's not as big of a deal as it was in the past. And we knew most of these guys were going to be out. We know LaMarcus Joyner is out for the season. He's not coming back probably. We know that Becton and Mann are going to be out a couple of weeks. And to replace them, the Jets signed four players. They brought in a safety, Jared Wilson, an offensive lineman, Isaiah Williams, a linebacker, B.J. Goodson, and a punter, Thomas Morstead. And Morstead is probably the most notable player the Jets signed. He was a longtime punter for the Saints. He joined them in 2009. They won the Super Bowl his rookie season. He was a Pro Bowler in 2012. He also made an All-Pro team that year. Last year was not great for him. It was the lowest average punt he had during his career. He did not find a team in training camp or the preseason, so we'll see how things go. He's a guy who's been in the NFL a long time, and I'm sure some people will wonder why the Jets are not just sticking with Matt Amendola. Amendola did a pretty good job in relief of Braden Mann after Mann went out with an injury. What was especially impressive about Amendola is that he had no preparation. He was not practicing during the week. He was not punting in the lead up to this game, and he did a pretty good job. I don't know that you want to have one guy handle your place kicking and your punting, though. There are different techniques you're using, different muscles you're using, and if you have Amendola punt, you may do something that messes up his technique when he's attempting field goals. And beyond that, I think in context, it was an outstanding performance because he did not have experience punting, because he wasn't preparing to punt during the game. But there were some moments where maybe he outkicked the coverage a little bit. There are some more nuanced things that you're not expecting from a place kicker who's filling in, but you'd want out of your punter. So I understand why the Jets are not sticking with Amendola as the punter. And the other guys the Jets signed, probably not going to be starters. I think on the offensive line, the move will probably be to move George Fant over to left tackle and hope he plays a lot better than he did last week, because he was really bad. I watched the film on this game. George Fant was every bit as bad as I thought he was watching the first time. You know, sometimes your initial view of the game is not accurate. There are some things that you realize you were wrong about. I was right about that one. George Fant was terrible in that game, and really the offensive line. And beyond the offensive line, I wrote an article today on gangrenenation.com about it. The Jets just did a terrible job blocking. You could talk to the tight ends. You could talk to wide receivers. What they did in this game was not good enough blocking. And the other name that came up on IR is Blake Cashman, which I did not realize Blake Cashman got hurt during the game. It seems like Blake Cashman just can't get on the field. And I guess maybe we're beginning to see why he fell to the fifth round in the draft a couple of years ago. Anyway, ahead on our show, Mike DeBate will lead us back in. It'll be Crossover Thursday. Mike and I will talk about this Week 2 game between the Jets and the Patriots ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. And we just talked about some of the injuries the Jets suffered in Week 1. There's no great answer when a player suffers an injury in an NFL game. But if your car or truck suffers an injury, you can go to rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a family business. They've served auto parts customers online for over 20 years. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
Patriots fans and Jets fans, this Sunday, Week 2 of the 2021 NFL season, the New York Jets will host the New England Patriots at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, each trying to avoid the cellar of the AFC East. It's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Mike DeBate, host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, and joining me today is my friend and colleague, John Butchko, host of Locked On Jets. John, it's always an honor, always a privilege to join you on the mic for these crossovers, bud.
Mike, right back at you. I'm very excited to do our show today.
Absolutely. And, you know, John and I were talking a little offline and joking a little bit. We're kind of becoming accustomed to these last place spots down here. Let's hope this is not too much longer. I know up in here in New England, they're not too happy about, you know, cellar dwelling, and I know the Jets are eager to get back, and there's a lot of promise with these two teams, young teams, hungry teams, and I think the potential to really do some great things coming here in the AFC East in the coming years for both franchises. So, John, let's kick things off today with the Jets, and they're coming off of a 19-14 loss against the Carolina Panthers. Probably a little bit of an emotional game for the Jets, of course, facing their former mate in Sam Darnold. It's the new era in New York. Robert Saleh coming in as the new head coach. New quarterback under center, a rookie quarterback, something we know very well up here in New England. Of course, Zach Wilson, the new quarterback for the Jets. And, John, I thought Zach showed a great deal of promise in his NFL debut. A little bit of a lack of experience. I can definitely relate to that, but I think he maneuvered well, tossed a couple of touchdown passes. He was sacked six times, threw a pick, but you can probably chalk some of that up to the offensive line woes that the Jets have been having lately. But Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots definitely acknowledge that this is still a very deep team with a lot of weapons on offense now, and especially at the wide receiver position. They do have a little bit more at the disposal, and Zach can utilize that to help move the ball. That being said, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots defense have also been known to cause some problems for young quarterbacks in the past. So what are your impressions of Zach Wilson thus far? And what do you see about this Jets offense that should allow them to move the ball better against the Patriots this season?
Well, I think in context, Zach Wilson's debut with the Jets was pretty good. It was not a perfect game, and there were a number of points where he looked like a rookie. There were a couple of times where he got fooled by a front Carolina was throwing at him, and the Jets ended up in the wrong protection. There were a couple of times where he missed reads. There were a couple of times he tried to force balls when he had an easier throw in front of him. There were times where he looked like a rookie, and that's something you'd expect from a guy making his first NFL start, but as you mentioned, there were a number of promising throws that he made, and his offensive line did him no favors in that game. It was a really ugly performance by a lot of guys up front, especially George Fant, the right tackle. And that is some cause for alarm for the Jets, because Fant is probably moving over to left tackle. Mekhi Becton got injured on a play that was actually Wilson's first touchdown pass in the NFL. He's on injured reserve. He's going to miss a few weeks. Fant is probably sliding over to left tackle. Morgan Moses will move in at right tackle. Now, Moses is a good backup tackle, but you never like to have to shuffle your offensive line this early in the season. Continuity and chemistry are really important, and that's something that the Jets really struggled with in preseason because Elijah Vera Tucker, the rookie left guard, missed time. But Wilson, despite the issues the Jets had up front, really began to heat up in the second half of this game. He led them on a couple of scoring drives, and he showed the playmaking ability and the arm talent that showed why he went second overall in the draft. There were a couple of plays early, actually, where he evaded pressure. There was one where he threw an absolutely incredible ball to Elijah Moore. Moore probably should have had it on a deep ball. His first touchdown pass was a great play. He evaded pressure and found Corey Davis. There were a couple of plays in the fourth quarter where he hit impressive passes, again, displayed that arm talent. And I think you have to like the fact that he shook off that rough start, that he shook off the hits that he took because the offensive line wasn't doing a good enough job protecting him. Again, it wasn't a perfect performance, but there was a lot to like from this game. And you said something that's kind of unusual for the Jets, and it's true. This is a deep receiving group. They probably will be getting back they're hoping to get back Jamison Crowder in this game. He missed the first game because he was on the COVID list. Keelan Cole, who was a free agent signing, also missed the first game. Jets are hoping to get him back this week. You have Corey Davis, who they brought in free agency from Tennessee. He had a couple touchdowns in the first game. And beyond that, you could just tell from even going back to training camp, he and Zach Wilson had developed some really good chemistry. You can tell Wilson trusts him. He's in sync with the routes Davis is running. And you also have Elijah Moore, who admittedly had a rough first game. He missed the entire preseason with an injury. But prior to that injury he suffered in training camp, he was turning heads. He was really impressing people. So for once, when it comes to the Jets, there's no shortage of weapons in the passing game for the quarterback to throw to.
Yeah, without any question. And look, these wide receivers that the Jets are employing are making an impression, and they're also raising the eyebrow of Bill Belichick. We had a chance to talk to Bill Wednesday morning prior to practice, did the media, and Bill mentioned the prowess of this wide receiver core. He specifically mentioned guys like Crowder and Cole providing that spark to help this wide receiving core in New York alongside someone like Corey Davis, who had a very good game last Sunday. So this is really, I think, an opportunity for the Jets to be able to utilize their talent around their quarterback and make some plays. But ultimately, John, I think you make a great point. It really is going to be about the protection that Zach Wilson is going to be able to get to help minimize some of those rookie mistakes. I'm sure we're going to talk about that on the Patriots side of the ball in just a little bit, because the Pats did have similar problems when it came to protecting Mac Jones and doing what they needed to do to make sure that he is, kept upright and given the time that he needs to make his throws. So all in all, I think offensive prowess and promise for the Jets could be the story of the year for them. And who knows, maybe it continues into this week against New England. But I'm going to flip the script a little bit, John, and I'm going to talk about the defensive side of the ball, because the Jets still have a formidable front seven. They are very much capable of making life difficult for Mac Jones and the Patriots offense. Without starting right tackle Trent Brown, and it's looking iffy that he's going to be ready for this game. He hasn't officially been ruled out, but he did not participate in Wednesday's practice, and it's not really a good sign for him going forward. Although he looks like he's avoided serious injury, there's still a chance that he may have to miss this game coming up on Sunday. So if that's the case, we know that Robert Saleh is going to be enacting some of what we saw him do in San Francisco. And we saw a little bit of that this Sunday. Again, Bill Belichick mentioned that the Jets are running that Seattle 3 defense with a 4-man defensive line, incorporating some defensive principles more commonly seen in those 3-man lines. And they do that very well. But I was also pretty impressed with the young secondary of the Jets. I thought they played a pretty good game on Sunday against this Carolina Panthers team. Looking at what the Patriots do well in terms of moving the ball, meaning those quick, accurate throws, vertical routes, the short passing game, maybe utilizing 12-man personnel, how does this Jets defense combat what Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels want to try to enact on Sunday?
Well, I think the key when the Patriots have the ball is how effectively the Jets can tackle in space, because there's a lot of inexperience in the secondary. And as you mentioned, Mike, they held up reasonably well in the first game. Heading into the season, the safety tandem of Marcus May and LaMarcus Joyner was one of the strengths of this defense. Now, the Jets lost Joyner in the Carolina game, and in fact, they lost him for the entire season. He played a couple plays in the first game. Now he's done. Sheldrick Redwine replaced him, and maybe the one hiccup the secondary had in the first game was he got lost on a long touchdown pass from Sam Darnold to Robbie Anderson. But heading into the season, the big question mark was the corner group, because it's a bunch of first and second year players, and these are all late round picks. So not only do you lack players with an NFL track record, you lack players with a big time draft pedigree where you think that these are high upside guys. But I think this is part of the plan for the Jets. And when you look at the way they built their roster, they spent a lot of money this offseason trying to build the defensive line. Now they lost Carl Lawson, and they were counting on him a lot. He's probably the one player on the defense that they don't have a replacement for. I think the reason they went so young and so inexperienced in the defensive backfield, especially at corner, is they're just going to play to prevent the big play. They want to keep things in front of them, and they want to rally to the ball. They're willing to give up the short completions if they can get up, make tackles, impose their will, deliver big hits. They did it pretty well against Carolina. In fact, 1/3 of Sam Darnold's completions in this game went for 5 yards or less. So they were kind of baiting Sam Darnold into checking it down, and they were rallying to the football. And even though they gave up a lot of yardage, they held Carolina to 19 points. So I think it's going to come down to, can the Jets tackle in space? They did it very effectively. There were not many missed tackles against Carolina. I think some of the guys on New England present a different challenge. If they can break through and get the big plays, Jets could be in some trouble in this game. Whereas if the Jets continue to tackle effectively, maybe they can hold New England in check on offense.
Yeah, and I think that's a good analysis and very detailed analysis, especially for my listeners, for the New England Patriots and Locked On Patriots. When you look at this Jets, secondary, there are, some name recognition issues, I'm sure, with some of our listeners. But they do have a good amount of opportunity, I think, to be able to utilize what they do well. And I was impressed with what I saw from them. But again, what you look at is a young team that may have some difficulty, down the line. So Bryce Hall, Brandon Echols, Michael Carter serving in the nickel. Maybe this gives them the opportunity to be able to make some coverage and make some plays. And if the Jets front can cause some confusion or get pressure on Mac Jones, that could end up being a little bit of a longer day for the Patriots than most fans up here in New England would want to have. So great insight on the Jets, John, as always, and we appreciate that. You've provided a great amount of insight when it comes to the New York Jets, but this wouldn't exactly be a true crossover unless we flip the script and you put me on the hot seat. In just a moment, folks, my friend and colleague, John Butchko of Locked On Jets, will take over the command and seek my wisdom and counsel on all things New England Patriots. More Pat's Jets talk when this Locked On Crossover Thursday continues.
I always enjoy doing these crossover shows with Mike. You get a lot of insight on the New England Patriots, and if you want to use that insight to make some money, you can go to betonline.ag. BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John from Locked On Jets, along with Mike from Locked On Patriots, here to preview week 2 NFL action. It will be the Jets and the Patriots. playing their annual game at MetLife Stadium. It is the Jets' home opener. Both teams 0-1, looking to avoid an 0-2 start. Now, Mike, we talked about Zach Wilson when you asked me about the Jets. Of course, both teams have rookie quarterbacks making their second NFL start. What can you tell us about Mac Jones in his debut against Miami?
Well, much like you said about Zach Wilson, John, Mac Jones, I thought, had a solid debut. I thought he had a great game by any quarterback standards, but especially by a rookie quarterback standards when you look at the way in which he was able to stand up under pressure. If you look at Jones' overall stats, his stat line from Sunday's game, it's not going to leap off the page. He completed 29 of 39, 281 yards, one touchdown. That ultimately is not going to be anything that's going to cause any type of statistician to go, wow, that's an impressive stat line. He's not going to get a you have a day from the NFL on that. But at the same time, when you look at the fact that he was 14 of 18 for 129 yards against the blitz, 9 of 12 for 89 yards on third down, 7 of 10 with a touchdown when under pressure, that's something that's impressive for any quarterback, let alone a rookie. Patriots kept it simple. They used checkdowns. They used the shallow crossers, made it easier for him. But at the same time, he kept the chains moving. And that's something that I was very impressed with, his poise, his ability to stay calm, his ability to motivate. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to lead to his success more often than not here in New England. That combination of being able to run the Patriots offense the way they want it run, which is the vertical based, quick, you know, passes completed, hitting the targets in stride where only the receiver can get it. That's the type of offense that the Patriots love to run under Josh McDaniels, and Mac Jones does it very well. So again, there were times where he looked like a rookie. His first snap was nearly a fumble and really just something that he needed to get those rookie jitters out of. There were times where there were a few misreads and missed a couple of open targets. But ultimately, I thought he did a nice job of navigating the offense, and I look for improvement in him each week as he gains a little bit more comfort in the Patriots offense.
Now, Mike, much like the Jets, the Patriots imported a number of targets for their rookie quarterback to throw the ball to this offseason. What's the hierarchy in the New England passing game right now? Who's the go-to guy? Who's the second target? And from there on?
Well, if you look at the reps and you look at the statistics on Sunday, you probably look at it and say Nelson Agholor, because 5 catches, 72 yards, a touchdown. He looked to be very much in sync with Mac Jones. That's a positive. But if I'm talking the most reliable wide receiver and the one that I think Mac will zero in on when he gets into trouble, it's going to be Jacoby Myers. He's definitely the chain mover when it comes to getting the bulk of the catches, being the reliable target, someone with surefire hands, and that type of receiver that Mac can go to when he's in trouble. He had 6 catches for 44 yards on Sunday, ran a lot of shallow crossers, had a drop in the red zone, but Jacoby overall is someone that he can count on, meaning Mac, and I think he'll be able to utilize him maybe even more effectively this week than he did last week. The other thing that you look at when it comes to Mac Jones' targets is the 12-man personnel, utilizing the two new tight ends that the Patriots have at their disposal, and that is Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Smith and Henry did not go over the top in terms of production. They only hooked up 7 times for a little over 70 yards, but at the same time, they were on the field for 32 snaps together when the Patriots ran 12-man personnel. So when you look at what they're able to do and how they want to do it, I look for that to increase. Don't forget, Mac Jones, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, all newbies when it comes to the Patriots offense, as Nelson Agholor was. These guys are starting to not only feel each other out as new teammates, but also a new system under Josh McDaniels. As they get more experience, you're going to see a lot more of that. And I look for the Patriots to utilize 12-man personnel even more this week.
How good is the offensive line in New England this season?
in theory, I think this has the potential to be a top five offensive line when healthy. But on Sunday, they weren't healthy. Losing Trent Brown at right tackle is a huge hole for this team. We saw Justin Heron come in and try to quell some of the difficulties that they had. He was not able to do it. Justin is a good depth piece. He's a solid number three tackle. But when he's called upon to be in an every down role the way he was on Sunday, unfortunately, it's just something that I think was really a little bit over his head. He was benched in the third quarter after being flagged for a holding call and allowing a tackle for a loss on a running play. All of this on a promising drive that should have gotten the Patriots 7 points. They had to settle for a field goal, and it really is because of some of his miscues. So if the Patriots don't have Brown this Sunday, that's an area that I know the Jets defense is going to want to exploit. If the Patriots want to go in a different direction and try someone, you know, new at that role, if Brown is out, they could go to Yasser Durant, the guy, offensive lineman that they just picked up from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's very sizable, similar in size to Trent Brown, 6'7", 330 pounds. He held up pretty well.
Could you briefly take us through the New England defense? Tell us what they do well, what they maybe struggle with a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of what the Patriots do well on defense, they do a great job of being able to set up and be able to set the edge and stop the run. And that is completely opposite from what the Patriots did 1 year ago. This is a team that finished 26th in the league last year at stopping the run. And you know that kept Bill Belichick up at night. He was not happy about that. There's no question about it. So when you look at what the Patriots do well defensively, that's something that is a little bit of a difficult. It is a little bit of a difference, I should say, in what the Patriots did last year as to what they do, this year. Short yardage situations, those are the types of areas where they may struggle a little bit. But ultimately, if the Patriots are able to keep the run in front of them and get the edge set, they should be able to get after the quarterback. And that's something that I know they'll try to do with a young quarterback like Zach Wilson, the way they've done it in the past.
I'm interested to learn what the expectations are in New England this season for the Jets. They're at the beginning of their rebuild. They're, I think, trying to show improvement week to week. To some extent, the record matters, but ultimately there are other factors at play that I think will determine whether or not this season is a success. The Patriots, of course, coming off a 7-9 season, they made a lot of moves in the offseason. Of course, they brought in a rookie quarterback, and I have to mention it, that guy down in Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl last season. What do you think constitutes a successful year for New England? Do they need to make a deep playoff run? Is it making the playoffs, a winning record, developing Mac Jones?
Well, we'll start with my expectations first, because I think they're probably a little different than that of the fan base. My expectation for this season is developing Mac Jones, making sure that he is comfortable being the quarterback of the New England Patriots for several years to come, and giving him the opportunity to look at as comfortable and be as proficient as we believe he can be here in New England. Again, like I've said before, this is a kid that runs the Patriots offense exactly the way the Patriots want it run. That timing-based offense based on vertical routes, delivering the ball quickly, accurately, and only where the receiver can get it. A lot of the new faces that the Patriots brought in, both on offense and on defense, John, were brought in for multiple years. They didn't sign a lot of these guys to one-year contracts. There's a long-term approach here that Bill Belichick is taking. That being said, they want to have early success. And I think a successful season for the Patriots is making the playoffs, eliminating that losing season feeling that they had in 2020 last year. But at the same time, you have to be realistic. And you look at what this team did on Sunday and some of the other powerhouses right now in the AFC and across into the NFC as well, and the Patriots are still a cut below that. So while a lot of fans are still keeping, 16-1 dreams alive, I think that's extremely unlikely. And most of the level-headed fans will tell you that. But I think their expectations may be for the Patriots to make a deep run into the playoffs. Not sure that's in the cards for them this year, but I do think at least a winning record and hopefully a playoff berth are things that they can aspire towards.
Well, Mike, I frequently say to our NFC hosts, it's always tough because I only get to chat with them once every 4 years. I love the fact that we get to chat twice a year, and I look forward to doing this again a little bit later when the Jets head up to Foxborough.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. It's always one of my favorite crossovers of the year, and it's great that we get a chance to do two of them. The honor and privilege is all mine. Have a great time this weekend watching the game, and we look forward to breaking the next one down already when these two teams hook up again later in the 2021 season.
That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're not tired of me yet, I am the guest on today's episode of Locked On Blue Devils. That is the podcast we have here on the Locked On Podcast Network that covers Duke University sports. We talk about the Duke alums playing for the New York Jets, Jamison Crowder and Michael Carter II. We also talk about expectations for the Jets in the 2021 season. I had a lot of fun chatting with JJ. I hope you'll give it a listen. And give our show a listen tomorrow. We will be back to preview week 2 between the Jets and the Patriots at MetLife Stadium.